It's always fun to have the kids ringing the bell. Welcome, everybody. Glad to see you here this morning. We're having a great day today. On Wednesdays, we have the food pantry. Gleaners is here. So come at 10:55. They open it at 11, and it goes fast. The food goes fast. So come and help yourself. It's a great way to... And if you know someone that needs food, be sure and... You can call and leave a message on the phone, and Sherry or Helen will get it and call you back. So then we also have our prayer meeting on Wednesday night, and we do it through Zoom. So you can go onto our website and just click the Zoom prayer gathering, and you go right into us as long as you have Zoom on your computer, so or phone or whatever you do. So it's great. It's wonderful to get to pray together for each other. I love praying on Wednesday night. And remember to check your mailbox back there. Make sure you get your Christmas cards. And today is our potluck. So be sure and stay for potluck, everybody. We got food. Yeah, we have food. So be sure and stay and enjoy fellowship with each other. It's always good. Marilyn Hensey passed away, and they're having a memorial service for her on Saturday, February 3rd, over at the New Hope Church, also known as the Mount Scott Church of God. So if you guys remember Gail and Marilyn, Gail was our interim pastor for a couple of years, a long time ago, after Rich. So anyway... Sweet, sweet lady, if anybody is interested in going to her remembrance, why? It would be good. And let's see, Stuart had an announcement. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yes, come on, Stuart.
And in addition to Stuart coming in and sharing some information with us, I also want to do a public announcement. For us to just as a reminder, silence your cell phones, right before church service begins so we don't have that interruption. And our mics are very sensitive. So please, for the students in the back of the classroom who like to talk during service, please refrain from talking because they actually are picking it up on the mic. I did not know that. So I was told that they can hear the chit chatter that's happening in the background. FYI, it wasn't me, Mom.
Well, thank you. My name is Stuart Nestor, and I used to attend here, by the way, back when Ivan Marble was the pastor. So, and I have since. Okay. Is that better? Okay. All right. So, how's that? Is that a good distance? Great. Okay. Thank you. In the process of coming here this morning for Bible study, I had opportunity to visit with Teresa, your pastor, and spoke with her about some my history here and what she has been doing as your pastor. And then also I touched upon what I do as a volunteer at Habitat for Humanity here in Forest Grove. So she asked me, after hearing what we do, to share here with you briefly just what it is that Habitat does. So I'm going to, before I get to the details, I thought there's one thing I want to share with you that most people don't know. Habitat for Humanity originated out of Georgia from a pastor. He was a scholar by the name of Clarence Jordan. And Clarence Jordan, back in the 1940s, bought some property, and he started what would be a Christian community in Georgia. And he invited the local community to be part of it, and that included blacks. And he had whites and blacks working together, having dinner together, which caused quite a ruckus in the community. But they endured all that they got. And one of the things that Clarence and the community of leaders back then started was called partnership housing. That's what it was called way back when. And those people on that little farm, and those who were part of that community and the outer community, they saw there was a need to build homes for those who had very little, almost shacks-like. So the community, actually, that's how it began. They went out, and then part of it was you don't just get a home. You help build your home. It's you doing it with your community. So that is how Habitat got started. A strong Christian concept of helping each other, loving your neighbor, and showing it by your actions. That is what Habitat is all about. Now, what most people don't know here in our community, besides we do build homes, and usually it's for people who can't afford it, and we have many volunteers like myself who help build those homes, as well as those, like at times when Clarence was around, the people who are going to own those homes, they too are there helping build their home. And they have a mortgage, by the way. But one of the other things which I shared with Teresa here this morning was, few people know, is that we help people stay in their home. That is the biggest thing that I think we do. We touch more people in the community by keeping them in their home. Last year, we did over probably somewhere around, I think, 220 to 250 families that we helped in many different ways, from new siding, painting, ramps. Some people were really, you know, and some are easy and light, you know. But so what I want to let you know is that Habitat is here in Forest Grove. The little restore you see over there, that's kind of our headquarters. And if there is a need in this community, if you know somebody who has a need where they might need some help with something that they can't afford or physically they can't do it, please let Teresa know, and then Teresa will let me know, and I'll make a connection with our staff, who can then talk to somebody about it. So that's what I wanted to share with you today, that we are here in the community. This is part of where we work and support. So we'd be happy to be a part of that for you.
That's awesome. Thank you, Stuart. It was great. I ran into Stuart at, where were we? Fred Meyer or somewhere. Where did I run into you at? Safeway. It was one of those stores I was at. It was great to run into him, and I was so tickled because he said he would show up sometime this month. So, and he picked the right month because it's potluck, so we can all visit with him. So the other thing I did want to say, starting next week, we are going to start back with Bible studies. So 9:30, we had this different thing, and that's today. We're going to start our hymn sing. So while you guys are, we aren't going to have a piano, but that's okay. We can sing a cappella as long as we know the songs. So that the congregation is choosing the songs. So something different. So that'll be fun. Just for this, the first Sunday of every month. So that's kind of fun too. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, our dear Heavenly Father, you do supply all of our needs, Lord. When we least expect it, you have your hand in everything, and we are so thankful that you have a plan for us, you have a plan for each one of us, and we sometimes don't understand it or know what it is, but you are right there guiding along the way. And Father God, I praise you for Habitat and a lot of other Meals on Wheels and all of these organizations that started in churches or by Christian people, Lord, to help others. And I just pray each one of us can reach out and help others, because that's what showing Christ's love is all about, Lord. And we are so thankful that you love us enough, and we just have to share that love with others. We ask that you be with us, be with Pastor Teresa as she gives the message today, Lord. Just open our hearts. Just let us absorb what you want us to hear. And be with the potluck today, Lord, as we fellowship with each other, Lord. Just let your love radiate down there in the fellowship hall also. We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings that you give us in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. We have our call to worship. If you want to stand, it's Psalms 8:1. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have displayed your splendor above the heavens. Amen. All right, so you can sit or stand, whatever you want to do, but this is our first time. Who has a song they want to sing first? Amazing Grace.
Here's the book here.
Okay.
I don't know.
You'll second that one. You know what?
Amazing Grace is hymn number 127.
127.
You can use our muscles today.
Just like we used to.
All right, Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear. The hour I first believed, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the to sing God's praise than when we first began.
Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Somebody else have one? Yes? 56. Blessed be the name. Everybody have all can see it.
I know.
All praise to Him who reigns above. In majesty supreme, who gave His Son from hell to die, that He might all redeem. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. His name above all names shall stand, exalted more and more. At God the Father's own right hand, where angel hosts adore. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Redeemer, Savior, friend of man, once ruined by the fall, Thou hast devised salvation's plan, for Thou hast died for all. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. His name shall be the Counselor, the Mighty Prince of Peace. Of all earth's kingdoms conqueror, whose reign shall never cease. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen. Good one. Susie, you got one? Okay, Jeff.
118 in the book, and the sexton used to know for you in the youth on Sunday night youth meeting.
Yeah.
118, Susie looked it up here. It is now what?
346.
346.
What a friend we have in Jesus.
Oh,
oh,
love that.
Okay.
Billy was there.
Oh, yeah. That's
all right.
A good one.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
346. What a friend we have in Jesus.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there.
That's a great song. Well, awesome words in that song,
yeah.
That's for sure. All right, one more. Yeah, one more. Yes, Tony.
647. What is it?
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to take him at his word. Just to rest upon his promise. Just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. How I love to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing, cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Yes, I've learned to trust in Jesus, and from sin and will to cease. Now from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. And I know that he who trusts him, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that he is with me, he'll be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
Amen. You may be seated.
As we prepare our hearts to give back, I know it's just a little bit what he gives us is so big, you know? I just can't help but to think of the joy that I can experience in giving back. Some of us give on online through the Mighty Tithes, and so remember that. But anyway, let's just pray for a special blessing upon this gift. Great God, we are blessed by you in such wonderful ways that we can share back just a little bit that we can, and you give us so much, so much. We just want to say great blessings. God, I don't know my words here because I'm just so caught up in all the wonderful things you've given us. Bless the giver now in the name of Jesus. Well, we're going to have time of sharing and prayer requests, and I always love to hear praises. Anyone want to start with some praises? Yes, Lori. Lori was sharing with us an answer prayer with her granddaughter being accepted into the nursing school or getting a co-signer, right? Did I get that right? And that is really an accomplishment. I have several friends that have gone into nursing and still are working hard to go into nursing. So we want to praise God right now with that. Amen. Yes, Brother Wayne. Ruby Johansson, Wink has shared with us a friend of his, Ruby Johansson, I'm trying to remember how to spell this, who is in hospice care, and we want to pray for him. Thank you for the prayer request. Any other praises or prayer requests? Jeremy has one. Jeremy wanted to share, he has a cousin, Paul Schneider, who was doing snowmobiling. Debbie, this is going to sound very familiar. He took a fall, not on a quad, but on a snowmobile. He has 9 fractured ribs. And he's having a difficulty. But what he posted was that he's praising God that God's given him a second chance. I saw that post this morning, and so did Donna. So we want to just say thank you for God that he's okay. And thank you, Jeremy. Debbie, did you want to share something? Okay, I wanted to share with you. Kim? For Mike's or whose? Oh, Kim wanted to share with us her son, Tainum. Okay, hopefully I got it right. God, I need better hearing. I know. Don tells me that all the time. Has an infection with his throat. Yes. We want to lift him up in prayer. Okay. Under his jaw, he's got an inflammation, and we want infection. Okay. Well, they're probably inflamed, too. He's probably, yeah. Yes. Okay. He is on antibiotics, but we want to continue prayer, God, with a speedy healing. I want to share a special blessing. We have been curtailment at work for the last 6 weeks. We've had some people not come back. Our rates just came up just a little bit. People are coming back to work. They're excited to be back to work, but they're praising God they're coming back. Yes, they're praising God that they're coming back to work. And so that's a real praise to be with people that are coming up and saying, I praise God that I can be at work. That always touches me. Yes, Stuart. Thank you. Stuart just shared with us a praise of not being in the church facility for 18 years and coming in and seeing that there's joy, that the church is being taken care of, that God's people is being used for his glory, God's glory, not our own. I didn't phrase that all right, but I know that I felt that earlier in our conversation earlier too. Yes, Debbie. Yep. I wanted to share with what Debbie was sharing, and I know those out there on, that are listening to this, because Debbie's got it right there. They're picking it up far better than you heard it here. If you go online at home, you're going to find that the loss of her husband, Ted, and what all the things, the steps that went through, and then the revelation of with her talking with about Rhonda. But I wanted to go back and talk about Ivan, if I can hit up on Ivan and Rhonda. I got a message from Ivan early, actually late last night, that he's taking Lou into the hospital, congestive heart failure and pneumonia and COVID. He stayed with him in the hospital till about 4 o'clock this morning. He texted me, and I was awake. I'm usually awake about 4 o'clock. And so if you wanted to text me, you'd probably find me awake. But anyway, he said, I'm going home. I'm going to bed. I'm tired. And so be praying for Lou. be praying for their family. They're still suffering from a flood at their house, if that's right, Tony. And they're still cleaning up. They're still cleaning up. Going, jumping forward to our wonderful sister Rhonda and the situation with her home there. She went to pick up a brother, I believe, from the airport. Comes in, got COVID. Everyone's masking up, trying to protect themselves and her dad from getting COVID. And so we want to just pray for continued blessings and protection there. So, any others? Susie. Prayer request for Joe and Ashley, who are just started coming. They're looking for a place that God's prepared them here in the Carlton, Gaston, Forest Grove, Gales Creek area. Is that covering it well? And we just want to lift that God's hand is in this, that he's moving them in a mighty way, and we're going to claim that victory right now. We're going to claim the victory. All right. Great God, we lift up Rhonda and the situation in her home, Father, that you be with them. Put a hedge of protection around her father and around herself, Lord. Protect them from COVID, Lord. We're just giving you the praise and the glory right now, God. We're claiming this. We're going to claim the victory. God, we pray for Carolyn Marble. She's not here today. We want to just lift her up too, Lord. Be with Ivan and Sarah and the situations with a flooded home and with Lou having pneumonia and heart failure and COVID. Oh my, this family's just hit so much, Lord. And then with the upcoming surgery for little Claire, Lord. Lord, we just want to lift that you protect them, Father. Protect them, Lord. Lord, we pray, Lord, for a job for Tony Marble, God. Be with him with his job search. God, I just want to say thank you, Lord, for a wink that he can share about Ruby, God. Just give her protection. May this transition, Lord, that you're in the center of it, give their peace that passes all understanding. Thank you, Lord, that Paul Schneider is acknowledging you, Lord, with being saved, not damaged more than he is in the night, broken ribs. But we want to say thank you, God. God, Kim's son, Kim and Mike's son, Lord, be with Tatum, Lord. Give him peace, Lord. Heal his body. Remove this ailment from him. God, we just want to give you the glory and the praise right now, claiming the victory in you. Father God, be with Joe and Ashley, Lord. May they find a home that you've chosen for them. Bless them. Give them blessed assurance. Give them hope that beyond all misdoubting, because we're going to claim the victory in you, that you have the perfect place for them. Father God, we pray for your church here in Gales Creek. We pray for your church in the world, God, in the world. Lord, we are faced with all sorts of doubts. We're faced with Satan's temptation and bombarding around us. God, give us strength to fight the evil one. Only through you can we do it. We're going to claim the victory now in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And all his people said, amen.
We do have a kids' worship song. Did we want to sing it? Okay. All right. Go ahead and lead it for us.
Oh, you changed it? Oh, Zacchaeus, I love it. It goes to the third thing.
Okay. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree, for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree, and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today, for I'm going to your house today.
I know, I remember that song from Vacation Bible School. Good stuff. Let's pray for our children. Holy God, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you that we can be reminded of how you sent your son to die for us. And that included everyone. And even a person like Zacchaeus, who wanted to see Jesus, and you made it happen, and he was seen by Jesus. I pray that you would see each of our young people, our children, that they would also seek to see you and know you as their God. We thank you, Father. Help us to grow them up to know who you are and live their lives for you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. So, yeah, that was a good start to our topic for today. First of all, Happy New Year. It's our first Sunday of the new year. Yay, us. We made it. We made it. And you know, the new year can bring for folks New Year's resolutions. Now, I'm not going to ask you if you have resolutions, if you've made any. I'm just saying, in general, that's what a lot of us do. And I learned actually this week from my colleagues at work that some folks have moved from doing resolutions to making intentions. So, because resolutions have historically not lasted through the end of the month. So people are trying to create intentions. But, you know, in my head, resolutions, intentions, same difference. In the end, they really are the same. You make a list of things that you want to accomplish, and it's a hit or miss if you achieve them by the end of the year. Now, the beauty of a new year means we get a fresh start. It's kind of like a fake do-over. You're still living life, but because we've identified a day on the calendar to be new, we can have a fresh start to accomplish our goals / resolutions / intentions. The new year also affords us the opportunity to pause, to reflect on what went well and maybe not so well in the previous year, right? And hopefully we identify ways to get closer to our goals / intentions / resolutions so that before the end of the year, we actually have made headway. We've gotten closer to that finish line, right? That's the hope. That's the intention. And so for the next few weeks, we're going to focus on the theme, a fresh start. It's a series that I'm borrowing from my home state, New Jersey. Go Garden State. The United Methodists of Greater New Jersey actually had this series a couple of years ago. So we'll be doing that, a fresh start. And this week, we encounter Jesus searching for the lost when he finds Zacchaeus. And that's why we sang the song, Zacchaeus. So please follow as I read from the Message translation, Luke 19, the first 10 verses. So again, I always invite people to follow along in the translation that you prefer, but we'll be sharing from the Message today. Luke 19. Then Jesus entered and walked through Jericho. There was a man there, his name Zacchaeus, the head tax man and quite rich. He wanted desperately to see Jesus, but the crowd was in his way. He was a short man and couldn't see over the crowd. So he ran on ahead and climbed up in a sycamore tree so he could see Jesus when he came by. When Jesus got to the tree, he looked up and said, Zacchaeus, hurry down. Today is my day to be a guest in your home. Zacchaeus scrambled out of the tree, hardly believing his good luck, delighted to take Jesus home with him. Everyone who saw this incident was indignant and grumped. What business does he have getting cozy with this crook? Zacchaeus just stood there, a little stunned. He stammered apologetically, "Master, I give away half my income to the poor, and if I'm caught cheating, I pay four times the damages." And Jesus said, "Today is salvation day in this home. Here he is, Zacchaeus, son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to find and restore the lost." Amen to God's holy word. So now many people across the nation will be, like I said earlier, looking at the new year as an opportunity for a fresh start. God wants to give all of us a fresh start. And it doesn't center around the calendar year that we have created as human beings. God has indeed granted us a fresh start when he sacrificed his son, Jesus Christ, for our sins in order to repair our relationship with him. We as believers, we understand this idea. And I'm sure all of us are very grateful for our new life that we have in Christ. This text, however, reminds us that God's invitation to salvation is not only for us, but it's for everyone, including the outcasts, including the marginalized. So let's look at the players of this event, because I'm sure you've heard this story. Like if you grew up in church like I did, or maybe you know, you've gone to vacation Bible school, you've gone to Sunday school, you've done Bible studies, you've heard this story about Zacchaeus. But let's take a deeper dive into this story and see what it has to teach us. So there's some players. There's Jesus and his disciples, that's the first group. And then there's the crowd, this is the second group. And then we have Zacchaeus himself, the third player. Luke presents the history of Jesus, noting the prophecy of his birth. Remember, so during the Advent season, we looked at Luke 1 and 2, the story of Jesus. How did he become into being? So Luke covers that, along with his cousin John's birth, the prophecy of John, and then John being born. It covers, if you read Luke, Jesus' baptism, his temptation. And then we see Jesus recruit his disciples. And then we get to witness a variety of the miracles that Christ performs. And so that's the story that Luke shares with us. And so I'll just want to take you briefly through some of the miracles that Luke covers when he tells the life of Jesus Christ. When you get to chapter 5, the great catch of fish, which leads to recruiting Simon, Peter, James, and John. That's what happens there. So if you remember that story, they're fishermen by trade. They're in their boat. They've been out there all night. If you've seen the miniseries Chosen, it's a great depiction of what happens for them. They're out there. They don't catch anything. They're like, oh, now it's time to go home. And they're grumpy. And Jesus is like, oh, let me use this boat real quick. Preach my sermon. Oh, and by the way, cast your nets on that side. And Peter's just rolling his eyes like, dude, I'm a professional fisher. I know what I'm doing. We didn't catch anything. We're good. But you can borrow my boat and stand here for a little bit. He's like, no, really. So then he casts the net and they get an overabundance of fish. And then that's when Peter's like, wait, what just happened? And then he realizes, I think he really is the Messiah. And so he converts and then he follows Christ along with James and John in that section. But also what happens in chapter 5 of Luke, you see Jesus healing a leper. He heals a lame man. Remember that story? His friends carry him because he can't walk. And because Jesus is going to be here. They go to see Jesus and they can't get in. It's a full house. What do? They go to the rooftop, open it up, and let him down. And they're like, Jesus, heal our friend. And he does. Amazing story. Now, incidentally, in that same instance, Jesus sparks controversy because he not only heals the man, but he offers him forgiveness of his sins. Everyone does the pearl clutch, even if they're not wearing pearls. What did he just say? Did he just say he forgives this man of his sins? Only God can do that. Yeah, so that's what happened in chapter 5. By the time you get to chapter 7, he heals a Roman officer's servant just by speaking the word. He doesn't, like, every up until then, everyone's bringing their sick person to Jesus. Jesus, can you heal my son? Can you heal my daughter? Can you do this? Can you do that? He goes, look, bro, I know you're busy. You're out here preaching to the peeps. You're doing all the things. You are a leader, leader to leader. You don't even have to come to my house. Just speak the word, and I know what'll happen. It can happen. Sure enough, he doesn't even physically touch the servant. By the time the other servants get back to the house, he's up and well. That's what happens in chapter 7. He also resurrects a widow's son. Now, this miracle is significant because if you remember from Old Testament times, God told his people, take care of your widows and your orphans. And so when women at that time were dependent upon their husbands, they were dependent upon their fathers. Like, you didn't have single women like you do now living their happy lives. They were always in their father's household or they were in their husband's household. So if your husband died, what's going to happen to you? If you did not have any sons, that presented a problem. Ruth, remember the story of Ruth and Naomi? It's like, we got to go back to our families because there are no men to take care of us. So she ends up having a son, but then her son dies. Who's going to take care of her? They're literally having the funeral procession. And Jesus is like, oh, what's happening? Oh, her son died? Oh, let me stop this now. And raises the man from the dead. Now, if I were there, I'd be like, and I'd probably pass out or something and then come to. But it's just like, he did what now? He touched it. And the man rose from the dead. How could you not believe that he's the Messiah? So that's chapter 7. By the time you get to chapter 8, they're in the midst of a storm and his disciples are panicking like, do you not even care? Wake up. So he gets up and he's like, what's happening? Oh, it's just a storm. Okay, peace, quiet. And I believe he went back to sleep after that. While the disciples stood there like, he just told the wind to be quiet and it settled down. Again, he must be the Son of God. He quiets the wind in chapter 8. He also heals a demon-possessed man. He resurrects another person, this man named Jairus. So he asked Jesus to heal his daughter. But by the time he goes to heal the daughter has passed away. So people are now mourning, but Jesus says, oh, she's simply sleeping, and goes in and wakes her up from death. There's also the woman with the blood disease who just touches his clothing. Again, he's in a crowd, and she's like, I imagine she's like Zacchaeus, I can't get through all these people. Move out the way. Oh, I'll just slide right here. Touches his clothing and is healed. And this is what's incredible. Jesus is like, wait a minute, I felt that. Somebody touched me. Again, rolling of the eyes from his disciples. Well, duh, we're in a crowd. What do you think is going to happen? People are bumping up against you all the time. He's like, no. This was an intentional touch, to be healed kind of a touch. And that's when not only is she healed of her body, but again, she's forgiven of her sins and her soul is saved. When we get to chapter 9, that brings a variety of healings, plus the feeding of the more than 5,000. Because remember, when you're looking at the text of those times where he's feeding 5,000, it's 5,000 men. So it's more than just the 5,000 because the wives are there, the children are there. So it's quite a feat for Jesus to be doing these things. And elsewhere, you're going to see up to chapter 19, Jesus also restores sight to a blind man, also near Jericho. So by the time we get to chapter 19, we find Jesus and his disciples on the road as they were accustomed to doing, traveling from city to city, spreading the love of God, re-explaining what those scriptures mean, bringing them to life for Jews. So once again, Jesus attracts a crowd, you know. So let's talk about that second party of today's account. We talked about Jesus and what he's been doing along with his disciples, but then there's a second party in the story, and that's the crowd. Jesus has an off and on relationship with crowds. Most of the time we focus on his relationship with the religious leaders, because sometimes the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the scribes, you know, they butt heads. But, you know, if you read the scripture carefully, you'll see that the crowds are also off and on with Jesus throughout his ministry. Most crowds received him because they believe the hype about the neighboring cities who have already experienced Jesus. Oh, you've got to see this man named Jesus. He can do this. He preaches. He does that. Right? So people are like, oh, okay, well, let me go see Jesus. So they're initially receiving and they're receptive because of what the words they've already, from people who have already experienced Jesus. And once they hear him preach and expound on scripture, they too become fans because he teaches with authority like no other rabbi that they've heard. His miracles, of course, should have made a believer out of anybody. But as we know from the Gospels, miracles don't actually seal the deal. It doesn't mean salvation for folks. They don't necessarily equate him to being God's Messiah, even though he is doing these wonderful things. So some believe Jesus is from God, because how else can he raise dead people, give sight to the blind, help lame people to walk? Like, who does that besides God? So some believe it, but then others, they still remain skeptical. Yeah, maybe it's a scam. Maybe those people aren't, you know, they're planted and they're really not, you know, getting healed of anything. And this is why Jesus complains of being rejected by his own people. You remember he's raised in Nazareth. He talks trash about the Nazareans, and then moves actually as an adult to Capernaum, where he uses that as his home base going out on his missionary treks. So, but listen, because he talks trash about both towns, because both of them turn against him. Mark 6, I'll read verses 1 through 3. Jesus left that part of the country and returned with his disciples to Nazareth, his hometown. The next Sabbath he began teaching in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. They asked, "Where did he get all this wisdom and the power to perform such miracles?" Then they scoffed, "He's just a carpenter, the son of Mary and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. And his sisters live right here among us." They were deeply offended and refused to believe him. Ain't that something? Because you know why, Sister Susie? Because they grew up with him. You're like, we played hopscotch, basketball, all the things. Who do you think? Now you're going to tell us you're the son of God? Really? Really? So, no, you just learned some magic tricks. I don't know how you went to seminary without us knowing that, but you ain't fooling nobody, right? So that's Nazareth. We know your brothers and your sisters. We know your parents, the people who had a miracle baby. Okay, whatever. No. So that's Mark. And John 6, he says it again. John chapter 6, verses 41 and 42. Then the people began to murmur in disagreement because he had said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." And they said, like the Nazareans, "Isn't this Jesus the son of Joseph? We know his father and mother. How can he say I came down from heaven?" Again, we know your parents. We know your family. You're not royalty. You're not of God. John chapter 7, verse 5, and then 25 through 27 says this. Some of the people who lived in Jerusalem started to ask each other, "Isn't this the man that they are trying to kill?" They being the religious leaders. "But here he is speaking in public, and they've said nothing to him. Could our leaders possibly believe that he is the Messiah? But how could he be? For we know where this man comes from, Nazareth. born in Bethlehem. When the Messiah comes, in contrast to Jesus being born in Bethlehem, he will simply appear. No one will know where he comes from. So in their minds, in their theology, Messiah is just supposed to happen. Like how we as Christians are looking for Jesus to return. We don't know the day or the hour he's going to be here. They're looking for that Messiah. They're not looking for some baby born in Bethlehem who grows up with their kids and is now the Son of God. What's happening? So they don't believe either. So this is what's happening when we get to this point where Jesus is looking, actively looking for the lost, trying to reach the people who need to know who God really is. That's the crowd. Now let's look at one of the people in the crowd, that man, that song that we sing about, Zacchaeus. He's the third party of the story. He happens to be described in scripture as a short man. He may have been taller than me. I'm 5 feet tall, so maybe he was 5'3". But nonetheless, shorter than the average men in that day, right? Because he can't quite see over the crowds. And I don't know why, Sister Judy, I am a tall person magnet. If I don't sit in the front, a tall person is going to come and sit right in front of me. Sometimes when I sit up in the front, I'm like, seriously? I'm doing a landing. Seriously? All the seats you could have chosen, you just gonna sit right in front of the short lady? Really? But that happens. So I feel for Zacchaeus, right? I can't see over the crowd. But he does this really random thing that goes against culture. Because from my understanding, back then, it wasn't appropriate for adults to run in public. They don't run in public. Nor do you climb a tree. That's what kids do. But here's this grown man is running past the crowd. It's like, I'm a see Jesus today. He runs past the crowd because he knows he's anticipating that Jesus is going to walk this certain main street. I'm going to run ahead a few blocks and I'm going to climb up this tree and I will get to glimpse and see Jesus. So he goes counterculture and does those things. But outside of being marked as a short man, what's more important in this text is that he's a traitor to his own. Why is he seen as a traitor? Because he's a tax collector. Boo. What does it mean to be a tax collector? Because he's not just a tax collector. He's collecting taxes on behalf of the Roman Empire that happens to be oppressing the people of Israel. And everybody knows that tax collectors bump up the price. So there's the government price everyone's got to pay. But as a tax collector, I can put on my own fee on top of that. So that, of course, oppresses poor people. We don't have all this money to be given. We don't have money to give to the Romans. And then you're going to put more money on top of that? How can you betray your own people? So tax collectors, they're outcasts in biblical times. For that very reason, they're cheating their own people. And if you think about what the story can be teaching us about ourselves today, tax collectors are the equivalent of our marginalized groups now. I mean, if you bring up the topic about homeless people, you get a grumbling response. People have lots of thoughts on why people are homeless. Why are they choosing to do that? They just all need to get jobs. All the things, right? Lots of judgment. If you talk about our drug, just our whole situation around drugs, being able to get them or not get them, using drugs out in the open, people have a lot to say about all those things. Those are the people who live in the margins. Not necessarily frowned upon, but yeah, they are. Lots of judgment, just like for tax collectors. They are human beings, people who are houseless, people who have drug issues. They're human beings too. All of us created in God's image, but that's not how we treat each other. It's not how we treat each other. So that's what the crowd was up to, grumbling about what Jesus was doing with that traitor of a person. And then we have Zacchaeus, right? Those people were grumbling about Jesus inviting himself to Zacchaeus' home. But despite their murmuring, Zacchaeus takes up that invitation from Jesus. He gets stoked that Jesus wants to know him. So Zacchaeus goes outside of those social norms, running and climbing the tree and hoping to be seen by Jesus. He does that. And then after Jesus is with him, his heart becomes changed. And that's when he says to Jesus, you know what? I've been living wrong. I'm going to make things right. Now that I know you're the Messiah, I'm going to pay back all of the times that I've been overcharging people. And if I slip into old habits, I'm going to pay four times that amount because I want to make things right. That's what Zacchaeus does. He has a change of heart and wants to repay for what he's done. He confesses to Jesus. And in turn, Jesus sees him. Just as much as Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, Jesus wanted to see him. And he says, not only do I see you, but you are a son of Abraham. And for the Messiah to say that to you, or anyone in the Jewish community to acknowledge you are a son of Abraham, that's the equivalent of saying you are saved. You know, when this life is over, you're going to be with God. Because there was that Abrahamic promise, right? God made that promise to Abraham. You are going to be the father of many. What did he mean by that? People from nations around this world are going to know who God is and be engrafted into the family of God. So when Jesus speaks those precious words to him, Zacchaeus is like, I'm there and I'm going to change my life because of that. And he does. So when we look at all the players of this account, we may ask ourselves, okay, so what's the point of this song that we sang about that short man who climbed a tree to see Jesus? What am I supposed to learn from this? Well, there's a few things. One, God sent Jesus as his Messiah for everyone, including the outcast people like Zacchaeus. Those people who were like, eh, I'm really not a fan of y'all. No, thank you. He came for them just as much as he came for us. We need to remember that. Jesus restores our relationship with God and gives us a fresh start. We need to be able and willing to offer that fresh start to others. Zacchaeus is an example of the outcast who receives a fresh start. Jesus offers him salvation. Zacchaeus receives it, and then his life is changed because of it. Not only is his soul saved, you know, because now he's seen as the son of Abraham, but his current life is changed because now he is going to strive to treat others as he has been treated by God himself, which is what God wants all of us to be doing. You who have been forgiven, you need to now go out and forgive. You who have received love, you need to now go out and share that love. It's not just for you to keep to yourself. You're supposed to be sharing it with the rest of the world. And then the crowd reminds us of how not to be. There are lessons in the negative. Sometimes we don't recognize it, but there are lots of examples of what not to be doing. And the crowd that day, that's a no bueno day. Don't be like them. What's the lesson? That we should not, first of all, judge God and tell him who he should and should not love. Why are you hanging out with those people over there? I'm sorry, what? Salvation is for us. It's not for them. Don't do that. And don't be judgeful of other people. Stop trying to tell God what to do and stop judging the people around you. Which also means stop telling them what to do. I know it's hard. It's hard, but resist. Resist the urge. And what we should be doing in place of trying to pass judgment and telling others what to do is to seek their restoration to God. That's why we are here. We should be reaching out to those people who are in the margins, showing them who Jesus Christ is every single opportunity that we get. Everyone matters to God. Every last one of us. Jesus came to search for and to save those who were lost. And we have inherited that same ministry. That's what he's expecting us to do. Shine our lights, be salt, so that this world can know who God is, receive his Messiah, and live with him forever. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your holy word. Thank you for the lessons that we can learn from it. I pray, God, that you would help us to live out today's lesson, what it means to have a fresh start through Jesus Christ. Help us not to hinder the fresh start of others because they're different from us. They may talk different, they may dress different, live different, be different educational backgrounds, whatever it is, God. Forgive us when we do that and help us to do better. We want to rightly reflect who you are in our lives. And so we pray that you help us to do that. So we ask all of these things because we know it's your will. We want to bring you glory and we need your power to help us to do it. We thank you, God. Amen. All right. We have next a song, and then we will close with our benediction. Oh, do we get to pick this hymn as well? One last one?
Sure. Yeah, we could always sing one verse. I mean, because hymns are.
Hymns
are. Yeah. But we
could
sing it. Sure.
Did
you have
one? I didn't. Have does somebody have one? That's a perfect one. This is the day.
Yes.
I don't know what. Number nine. That's a good one.
This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Amen. Good song.
Amen. I know, right? Thanks, Joe. So thank you for being here with us. It's good to see happy faces, people we haven't seen in a minute. Thank you for choosing to come and fellowship with us today. And as we leave from this place, remember that God is with you. His Holy Spirit is in your heart to empower you to love others, to let your light shine, to be salt, all for his glory. Because somebody needs to know who Jesus is. Somebody needs to be reminded that God cares for them. And who better else to do it except you and me? So let's do it, all for his glory. Until we meet again, God's peace and grace be with you. Have a wonderful week.
Amen.